Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
In this latest episode of the Kosafa Show, we speak to Executive Director Sude Tome as we reflect on a bumper 2024 for the organization and look ahead to what may be in store in 2025. Kosafa held an unprecedented 9 tournaments last year, 5 of them for women, despite a challenging environment and external factors that were outside of the organization's control. The rewards of this long-term development of men's and women's football at all age group levels can be seen in the record 7 Kosafa sides that have qualified for the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations in Morocco later this year, and the continued improvement of our women's teams. The terms outlines the highlights of 2024 on and off the pitch, and the ambitious plans of Kosafa for 2025.
Thanks, Sue, and all the best to 2025 to you. Thank you for joining us for this first podcast of the year as we reflect back on what was a bumper 12 months for Kosafa in 2024 and look ahead to what we might expect in the coming 12 months. So first off, if we talk about 2024, obviously Kosafa held 9 tournaments, which is the most it ever has. 5 of those for women, if we include the girls' competition in schools, which is also the most for Kosafa. Juniors for both under-17s and under-20 boys and girls. A beach soccer tournament as well. I mean, it really was a packed calendar and a great advert for the development of football in the region.
Absolutely, Nick. It certainly was, you said, a bumper 12 months, but bearing in mind that those 12 months were kind of compressed. Besides the beach soccer, which was earlier in the year, everything else was then, from June to December. So it was a mammoth task, but it was very fulfilling, very constructive.
And just if we talk about the women's tournaments, obviously there's been a desire from FIFA and a desire from CAF to host more women's tournaments. You know, we have, for example, seen the return of the under-20 women's competition for the first time since 2019. Is that definitely a goal to keep these going into the future?
Definitely. The under-20 women had been put aside in 2021 to make room financially for the Women's Champions League. And unfortunately, that situation didn't change, which is why we had, we didn't do the under-20 women in those years. But this year, we had an opportunity to do so, and we jumped at the chance of bringing it back because it's an important age group. It's an age group which has qualifiers every second year for the FIFA Women's Under-20 World Cup. So there are qualifiers. CAF, of course, doesn't have a continental championship for under-20 women, or at the moment for under-17, although I think that will change shortly. So it's very important for the under-20 players in our region to have a tournament that they can they can utilize for preparations and just ongoing. It's the continuity, and I think that is why we have seen such big steps having been taken and an exponential growth in women's football in particular in this region, simply because of the continuity. So if you leave it just even for 1 year, particularly at the junior level, you put yourself back 2 years.
Sorry to interrupt, Nick. Can I ask you then, just on looking back next year, how gratifying was it also to have that record number of teams qualifying for the Cup of Nations? Because, I mean, that is, after all, the flagship tournament of African football, and never before will there be as big a Southern African representation as the next edition in Morocco.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it really was particularly gratifying to us, as a zone, to our leadership, as it must be, for all of our member associations, particularly those are the ones who qualified. But for us as a region, it was gratifying and fulfilling to note that this is what can happen when one does starting from the juniors, continuously. It gets to a point where, not to say that all of the players in all of those teams that qualified, you know, came through the ranks of CASAFA, but certainly, you know, there are a measure of them who have. So it's just fabulous that we've got seven teams, you know, qualified for next year's AFCON.
And if we also look at the beach soccer, and I know that there's perhaps a plan from CASAFA to rotate beach soccer and futsal in the future. Maybe we'll discuss that in a little bit. But if we look at the beach soccer, it's also another tournament that's really sort of grown in leaps and bounds over the last few years since its return to the calendar. And obviously, looking ahead now, we have the FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup coming up in Seychelles this year. How important has that tournament been for CASAFA?
Yeah, I think it's been important from the point of view that it adds another string to our bow in terms of different format of games of the game, and it's I think just added something to the brand. You know, it's again kind of highlighted the CASAFA brand, because in the previous two editions, being the one played last year and the one in 2022, we had visitors, particularly was it last year's? No, it was the previous one where we had the qualified teams that were going to the AFCON in Mozambique. So that was great, and the teams used it, you know, as their final preparation. Last year in March, we had Morocco and we had Saudi Arabia. So it's bringing in different teams, you know. With our 11 aside, we've always, you know, from time to time invited invitational teams, as you know. But it's kind of been similar teams for, you know, different tournaments. But here we brought in Saudi Arabia, first time ever, from the Asian Confederation. And then Morocco was the first time that they had played ever in a CASAFA tournament. Every time you bring, you know, you do that, you bring a different dimension. Of course, it opens up, it brings different eyeballs, to the CASAFA brand. So it's important from that perspective. We do want to bring futsal in. I think for this year, it might be better. It's subject to finding a host for the beach, which we're currently working on. And if we can get it right, quickly enough, then we will invite some of the teams that have qualified for the World Cup in the Seychelles.
And do you still see the fundamentals, though, of CASAFA being sort of youth football, age group football? Because, I mean, the genesis of the organization certainly was an under 20 tournament, and it's grown rapidly from then. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the number of age group tournaments that you have is indicative, I think, of where your fundamentals lie, as it were.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if we go back to, you know, what our mission statement is, it is to develop football, which is not to say, and we always have used the senior tournaments as developmental as well, to an extent, where even in the CASAFA Cup, coaches bring not their A squad, of course, because it's not played on FIFA dates, but they'll bring players that they want to have a look at before the next CHAN or the AFCON, be it qualifiers or final tournament. But I think our focus remain on our junior tournaments, so under 20 men and women, under 17 girls and boys, and now of course the schools, which is in the under 15 age category, and the under 20, of course, feeding up to the senior men's and women's.
And another one of the great leaps forward, I guess you could say, last year for CASAFA was the further implementation of the video assistant referee system at more tournaments, and a greater number of matches. I know that there's plans also to set up a training facility. If you could just talk us through a little bit about that, a little bit about the growth of that and where you see it going in the future.
Yeah, so we'd be referring to this as a VAR Academy, and we will roll it out in three different ways. First of all, when we have tournaments, if it's a qualifier, and then obviously the senior men and senior women, we will be implementing VAR as we have started. We started with the women, actually, in October 2023, and then continued it in 2024 at both the Kasafa Cup and again at the women's. But we then introduced it because we had two qualifiers in the under 20 boys category and the under 17 boys category. So we implemented VAR in both of those as well. Good for the game. It is a qualifier, and particularly in the semifinals, which of course is determining who goes through, one can't be careful enough. If we'd had it, you know, for the women's Champions League as well, that also would have been good. So it's about implementing it, you know, during tournaments. But of course, again, the focus is on developing our referees, both male and female, across our region, to get as many certified as possible and in the shortest possible time, because we've had a number of our VAR referees who had been trained and they've now retired. Johnny Scuzzwe, as an example, he's now an instructor. And some of our other referees have also retired. So CASAFA has always, you know, played an important role, and we've been, you know, privileged to have been sending so many referees to continental and world tournaments. Now, the focus is on getting them VAR certified, because if you are not, the referees are going to miss out on appointments to your AFCONs and any of the FIFA, you know, the global tournaments. So that's what we're aiming at, and we will do it in different ways. We CASAFA has through our referees department and one or two experts, we have developed a pilot program that even FIFA are asking, and other zones are saying, can we have access to your program? It's a simulation program, so it's ideal as the forerunner. We did it. We started the very first one in Malawi when we were there for the Women's Champions League, and it's about getting 30 or 40 referees in a room. So it's in a classroom. You've got monitors and what have you, and it's all simulated. It's simulation. And that provides a very good entree before they get to actually, you know, utilizing the equipment, whether they're in the VAR room or whether they, you know, are on the field of play and are listening to the, you know, the VAR. And having to check the monitor and whatever. So that is proving to be very successful. So we will be offering that to all of our member associations. That means that we can go to the member association. They bring their referees into a classroom just with a couple of simple monitors. We send the experts to them, and they do that. Step one. We've then got the equipment which CAF generously provided to each of the zonal unions. So we've got our equipment here that we're just trying to identify a suitable space, which is affordable, to be able to set up then a permanent outfit, so referees can come here, so they can bring. Particularly when you've got smaller countries like the islands, where you've got only two or three that you're looking at, they can bring their referees here. Each member association can bring those referees here, and then we do a full on training on the equipment, and then of course that is all building up to actually being certified. And so that they can be designated for the tournaments. It's much like flying an aeroplane, going for your pilot's license, where you've got to build up hours. So it goes with this VAR as well. And we have we're on a platform, on a FIFA platform. It's very carefully monitored by the FIFA VAR department. So we're in constant contact with them. They know exactly what we are doing with what referees, who's doing what, you know, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's a 5-day course before the tournament, which counts for your hours, because that is not simulation. That is, it might be offline, but it's using the equipment and on the field of play with players, and then of course going live online for whatever matches we designate.
Can I ask you generally about refereeing in the COSAF region? Are you happy with the standards? I mean, Southern Africa has had some of the leading referees in the history of African football. You think of Bester Kalambo and Frank Veldemarker, and Ahmad Salih ran the line at a World Cup final, Limki Chong, etc. Are you happy that the current crop are going to achieve perhaps the same heights?
I think it's, you know, because we've had, as I say, quite a number who have retired in 2023. So we're kind of in a building, you know, process as well, a rebuilding process. It's also essential to have instructors. So that's another focus of ours, you know, together with CAF, is to have more instructors workshops. I think we are fortunate in the VAR department that we do have, a number still who are certified, who've done CAF and FIFA tournaments, and, you know, are therefore available to us and are the mentors for the new crop coming through. And then, of course, not everybody's a VAR referee, you know. Not everybody's an AVAR. There is still very much place, obviously, for your referees and your assistant referees, outside of the VAR. And again, we've still got some very good referees, kind of generally across the countries. But Mauritius, Madagascar, those have always been some of our top-flighting referees. We've got, Diana from Zambia, who never fails to deliver and to make us very proud, assistant referee from Zambia. So I think, as I say, we're in a regrouping stage, but we can still hold our own and must do, which is, you know, why we putting such emphasis on the VAR, as you know, as well as others, to make sure that we don't fall by the wayside in terms of having referees of a correct standard to be designated for continental and global championships.
If we just look ahead to 2025, let's start on the pitch. If we can just get a broad outline of the intended tournaments, and we always offer the caveat that, you know, some things remain outside of CASAFA's control in terms of the hosting tournaments. But as a sort of a broad look at what the intention is, could you just give us a rundown of that?
Yeah. First and foremost, we really want to do another beach soccer this year, because it's very relevant. We've just recently, in November, December, we signed an MOU with the Beach Soccer Worldwide, who approached us because they had seen what we have been doing on the African continent in the beach soccer space. So they approached us and said, you know, they'd like to do an MOU with us where they can provide technical know-how, info on the infrastructure and equipment, as well as training of a beach soccer coaches, beach soccer referees. So we will be in touch with them next week to say, right, you know, can they assist us in getting this year's together as quickly as possible? Of course, it does still mean that we've got to find a host, which we are doing, because we don't have Durban at the moment. We're working on that one again, but we also have put it out to Cape Town to see whether they may be interested. Mozambique may have been a possibility, but at the moment it's a wait and see in terms of Mozambique. So beach is in our planning. It's in a state in the planning stage. And then of course Cassava Cup, senior men, the senior women most definitely, Women's Champions League, yes, and that possibly will go to Zambia. That is a CAF qualifier, so we do need to do it because it is a qualifier. It's the only way that our clubs are going to get to the continental. And then definitely we are doing under 20 boys and under 20 girls this year. That will be played as part of the Region 5 games, and that will be in Namibia in July. So there's another definite, for the under 20 women, which came back onto our calendar in 2024. So that's great. And then we will definitely be doing the under 17 girls and boys and the schools, which is also girls and boys. So much the same as this year. And just talking about the under 17 girls and boys, when we went into the planning of those two tournaments last year, even though the boys was a qualifier, we were working on 8 teams. Because that's kind of traditionally what we've had. In fact, we were thinking of the girls, pumping for 8, but we would have been happy had we had 6. Well, come October, it was kind of a windfall, but it was also, wow, what the hell do we do now? Because we had 12 teams, which is, unheard of in the junior space. But that has most definitely come about as a result of the strict implementation as from 2023 by FIFA of the FIFA Forward Regulation to international associations, where there are boxes. I'm not saying boxes to be ticked, in other words, just paying lip service, but one has criteria. The national associations have criteria to fulfill. And they've got to do all of the age categories at national team level. So, some of our member associations, unfortunately, last year when they came to get the second tranche of their FIFA Forward funding, were penalized because they had not fulfilled. So everybody, you can see, even teams, even countries that have traditionally not participated in the girls at all, suddenly were there and they were the front runners. So that, I know that's where that has come from, but I mean, it's fabulous, no matter how it came about.
So these obviously remain incredibly exciting times. I mean, we've got a Cup of Nations finals coming up. We've got the World Cup in North America with all those. We've got a really jam-packed year with international football, and CASAFA just keeps growing.
Exactly. And it's as difficult as it is to find times, opportunities to peg like your CASAFA Cup. This year is going to be really difficult to find an opportune time for the CASAFA Cup. Although with the news breaking yesterday that the CHAN is now going to be in August, that might give a good opportunity for CASAFA Cup, whenever we can peg it, to be a preparation for the teams that are going to the CHAN. But the juniors as well is not easy. We've got the schools, which is under 15, and then you've got under 17 girls and boys, which is also school, learners. So it was a devil's own job to peg those last year. So we want to we will be starting to work on our calendar and the placement of tournaments from next week. But it's very clear that we've got to bring something into the first quarter of the year. Two things into the first half of the year, and that the juniors, we can't have everything played in December. So, we'll probably be looking at playing the schools in August and trying to bring under 17 girls maybe into the first half of the year, so that it sits between the second and third rounds of the under 17 FIFA qualifiers, which, you know, might also be a good, you know, a good for our teams, and then leaving one in December. So it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, because we've got, you know, we can't just do our own jigsaw puzzle. We have to be mindful of what CAF is doing, and unfortunately CAF, you know, sometimes chopping and changing there. So we might have pegged something and then there's a change there because something has changed, you know, from further up the field with FIFA. So we kind of the last you know, cog in the wheel to do our jigsaw puzzle.
And if we just talk a little bit about off-pitch in 2025, last year we had the CASAFRA Awards, you had the Women's Leadership Program, which has been a great success now going for a few other years. You had, I think, a General Secretary's Workshop was last year. We had a Women's Commentator course, first ever, possibly in Africa, that was held. What plans are afoot, so to speak, for 2025?
We've got a lot of capacity building, you know, on our radar. Firstly, with the VAR, as I had mentioned to you, that sits, you know, within its own space. But that is training and capacity building of our referees. Then for where we had done the General Secretary's Workshop this year, last year. This year, we are planning to do marketing and communications as a workshop. So we'll have the marketing people and we can have the communications people, and we'll do a marketing and communications workshop. We want, on the medical side, we really want to do a workshop. It'll probably be an online one, but maybe not, on nutrition. So looking at, you know, looking at the junior players, but not excluding the senior players, of course, but it, you know, the, it's got to start, you know, at the building, at the foundation, of the schools and the under 17s, girls and boys, and focusing on nutrition, which I don't think has ever been done, on the continent, I stand to be corrected. And it's really something that one's got to do with local experts, you know, experts from Africa who know the challenges of, you know, of food, of the, you know, the food challenges in different countries. They also know, you know, the staple diets, etc. So rather than bringing, you know, somebody from further afield who doesn't have that integral knowledge. So that's something that we want to do on the medical side, the marketing and communications. We will be continuing with our women's leadership because, as you say, that has, I think we've done it for 4 years now. This will, we're going into the fifth year. What we also did last year was a club developmental workshop. That was online. We will break it down this year so that we've got, we'll do one for English and then we will do a separate one for the French and Portuguese speaking. That also, where we, you know, we had invited all of our member associations to put forward people who were coming from their leagues and their clubs, administrators, media, marketing, etc. Because I think a lot of work, when we look at some of the challenges that we are faced with in organizing our Women's Champions League annually, the clubs that come and where they are, there's a lot of work that needs to be done within the club scenario. So that we will be doing again as well. And then, of course, we had a very successful TSG a technical study group symposium last year, and we want to do that again this year because we have now had the full bouquet of tournaments in 2024. So there's going to be a lot of learnings, you know, coming out of that.
That's it for another episode of the CASAFRA Show, our first of 2025, and we wish all football fans across the Southern African region a prosperous year ahead. Don't forget, you can listen to more of our podcasts on our YouTube channel, Spotify, and iTunes. You can also get the latest news via our website at www.casafra.com and on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.